Hey, it's Aaron, and this is 31 Nights of Scary Shit. Dum da dum da dum 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 dum. You probably noticed, friends, that the opening just is not the same anymore. I'm sorry. I apologize. Haven't figured it out, but I'm back, and I'm really excited to be here with you. I have something really exciting to talk about today. So how's everybody doing? Are you enjoying your weekend? How are you enjoying fall? I've been enjoying some amazing fall foliage up here in Massachusetts, I've got to say. Also a little bit in New Hampshire. And I have to say, I've already said it before, it is the best. I am officially a fall foliage snob because what I've been seeing, absolutely amazing. But I'm not here to just talk about fall foliage. Today, I'm going to talk about another spooky place. This time we're going to head to the White Mountains in New Hampshire. It's another spot on my list of places to see. I actually got to see a place that I discussed a few episodes back today, which was actually really exciting. So I did an episode on the S.K. Pierce Mansion, which is in Gardner, Massachusetts. So stay tuned for some pictures and perhaps a video showing that. Now, unfortunately, I didn't get to go inside. My bad. I should have realized I needed to make a reservation. So the S.K. Pierce Mansion has opened for tours, and I don't think they've been doing them very long, but we got there today. We were checking it out, and the tour guide said that they were already full and they wouldn't be able to let us in, but I will go back. I will go back for sure. I did get to step inside, and that was pretty cool. And like I said, more on that, stay tuned. But I feel like I accomplished something because I got to see a place that I've talked about on here, so super exciting. But for today's episode, as I said, we're going to head to another one of my must-see spots, and that is the White Mountains in New Hampshire. It's known as the site where Betty and Barney Hill were abducted by aliens back in 1961. I also covered that a while back as well. So the Mount Omni Resort in Bretton Woods is a popular vacation destination given its proximity to the beautiful White Mountains. The resort was built in 1900 by Joseph Stickney, and he acquired great wealth by investing in coal mining and the Pennsylvania Railway. The luxury resort had 2,000 doors and windows, 11 miles of plumbing. Thomas Edison oversaw the installation of the electric in the hotel. The hotel had its own phone system and post office. It was called the Mount Washington Hotel then. Joseph's beloved wife, Carolyn Salome Foster, was born on July 17th, my mom's birthday, 1869 in Middlesex County, Massachusetts. Now, my mom was not born in 1869. I just want to clarify that. She and Joseph married on January 14th, 1892. The hotel officially opened for guests in 1902, but sadly, Joseph died of a sudden heart attack in 1903. After Joseph's death, Caroline inherited the Omni, and she dedicated her life to carrying out the goal of the Omni becoming the most luxurious hotel in the region. Carolyn honored her husband's memory with charitable donations and creating stunning monuments in Joseph's honor. One was an English Tudor-style chapel with Tiffany glass windows and granite from a mountain near where Joseph grew up. Carolyn's room had the best view, overlooking nature and the entrance to the hotel. And honestly, I like this woman. She sounds like my kind of gal in many different ways, but nature lover, she loved a view, and I'll get into some other reasons why I love her. So she had a room, as I said, with the best view, and the hotel was originally only open during the summer months. It attracted people who wanted to summer in the countryside. Carolyn remarried about 10 years after Joseph died, so around 1913, to a French prince named, and I'm going to butcher this, so I apologize. She married Prince Aymon de Faucigny-Lucinge. But even though she went to live with him in France, she continued to come back and spend summers at the hotel. Do you see where this is going yet? Carolyn was quite attached to sleeping in her own bed, and I positively love this. So get this, she would transport her own bed from France back to the hotel each summer when she returned. I love that. After the prince died, Carolyn returned to the hotel to live out her final years, around 1923-ish. It's actually kind of sweet and sad that she returned to the hotel that she and Joseph loved so much. It seems she loved the hotel as much as she loved her husband. So guess what? The Omni is also known as being haunted AF. I mean, did you expect I would talk about a regular old hotel that is not plagued by ghosts? Of course not. What kind of show do you think this is? Carolyn died in 1936. After her death, employees started reporting seeing an elegantly dressed woman floating through the hallways. Her image would appear in the background of photos. Lights would turn off and on in the hotel inexplicably. Her ghost had also been seen descending the stairs for dinner. It was said that Carolyn used to secretly look out over the balcony, scrutinizing what guests were wearing, and if she thought that they were better dressed, she would immediately change into an outfit that would outshine theirs. I love that. I'm not that type of person, but I love that she was. I find that very comical, actually. Carolyn's old room number, 314, was dubbed the Princess Room, with her old bed being available for guests to rent out and sleep in the actual bed. So, where do you think I'm going with this? Makes sense that there have been spooky things recorded in that room. Remember how I said Carolyn had a special attachment to her bed? Well, it seems that even in death, she ain't gonna part with that bed. Hotel guests have reported seeing Carolyn sitting on the edge of the bed, combing her hair, and sometimes they smell a floral perfume in the middle of the night. Guests report that music mysteriously plays by itself in the ballroom. While it sounds like the encounters are mostly harmless, I can see why one would be afraid of, you know, somebody showing up in photos when they didn't see them there, or somebody, you know, showing up in a room at the edge of your bed. I mean, of course. But really, honestly, the appearances sound, you know, really, really quite harmless, really. In 1997, a housekeeper went to clean room 314 that some newlyweds had been staying in. The housekeeper knocked on the door, but no one answered. Upon entering the room, she saw a little girl sleeping on the bed. The housekeeper left the room and told her supervisor that the room could not be cleaned because of the little girl that was in there sleeping. So I bet you know what comes next. What little girl? The supervisor said that the couple that were registered were newlyweds, and as far as she knew, there was no record of them having any children with them. The housekeeper went back up to the room to leave a note saying that the room would be clean later. But this time, when the housekeeper entered the room, it was not a little girl on the bed. Instead, it was a woman with black hair and a white dress and a terrifying smile. Now, I don't like that. Something about a sinister grin, it makes it worse than like somebody scowling at you. That's terrifying. The woman just sat on the bed and kept staring at the housekeeper. Naturally, this scared the bejesus out of the housekeeper, and the housekeeper and another friend who worked at the hotel had been in the room the day before, and they had taken a photograph of themselves on the princess's bed. Wonder if this had something to do with it. So perhaps the princess did not appreciate the two of them taking a photo on her bed. The ballroom has also been the site of paranormal activity. Back in the late 1980s and early 1990s, the hotel closed in the fall. Just before the shutdown, it seemed that paranormal activity would kick up almost as if, you know, the entities were like, okay, we know that what's coming. We know it's going to be closed up for a while. We just kind of want to, you know, go out with a bang kind of thing. One of the hotel staff was working alone in the ballroom, putting it back together after a large meeting. The windows had really heavy curtains on them, and the worker had closed them. At one point, the curtains began swaying back and forth, as if someone was moving them from side to side. Well, the worker double-checked to be sure that no windows and doors were open. Then, a woman appeared, wearing a hoop-styled dress. The worker started to leave and thought maybe someone was just playing a joke. However, when the employee was exiting the ballroom to go into the lobby, something or someone could be felt brushing past. So the team at Ghost Hunters visited the hotel back in 2008, and they documented paranormal activity in the Princess Room and in the abandoned towers in another area, which is another area of paranormal occurrences. If you're interested in viewing that episode, it was season 4, episode 7 to be exact. And you're welcome, ghost hunters, that I'm plugging your episode. Yeah. Ha ha ha, right? As if they're listening. But on the chance that you are, I'm a big fan and it's a great episode. So, and maybe I'll link that in my show notes. You should check it out. So the team of Jason Hawes, Grant Wilson, and Steve Gonsalves, and the full TAPS team. By the way, do you know what TAPS stands for? It stands for the Atlantic Paranormal Society. They met with Fred Hollis, a longtime employee and head of hotel security at the Omni. According to Fred, a hotel employee who had been renting a space in the South Tower heard a tap on her bedroom door at night. Upon opening the door, she saw a white shadowy figure, which promptly disappeared. Employees reported feeling emotionally and physically heavy when entering the South Tower and found it difficult to walk. Employees have started a custom of leaving their signatures on what they call the Wall of Names, which is located behind and above the dining room, and guests have reported thumping coming from the area of the Wall of Names while they're eating in the dining room. So what I'm going to do is summarize what the Ghost Hunters team found in their investigation. Now, keep in mind, this was back in 2008, quite some time ago. So I'll be honest, I'm not sure if there's been any more investigation, if there's anything new to add. But I mean, it's pretty compelling, I think, what they found. So how much do I want to stay in room 14? 1,000%, but I would never do it by myself. Here's a synopsis of what the ghost hunting team found. The Wall of Names. The thumping noises that could be heard from the dining room from the direction of the Wall of Names, the team separated to see if they could hear people moving around from the dining room on the other side of the wall, and they could. They determined that perhaps those noises were heard from humans moving around, so they couldn't really say with certainty that the thumping was the result of paranormal activity. When they went to the South Tower, the space where some employees rented, the team captured audio of footsteps that were not able to be explained. Possible haunting. Now, in room 314, the Princess Room, the team captured audio of a female voice caught by EVP. If you're not familiar with what EVP is, it stands for electronic voice phenomenon. And an entity, presumably female, responded to questions. Some of it was muffled, but it seemed like when asked specific questions, the female entity did respond with intelligent answers. The team asked, "Princess, are you there?" And the EVP registered, "Hello, is there someone there?" And when asked, "Princess, can you at least let us know you're in there?" The EVP registered, "Of course I'm in here. Where are you?" Can you imagine? I would have jumped out of my skin at that one. Cool, but scary. Carolyn's ghost or whoever this female voice was seemed pretty harmless. I'm sure I would have been startled, though, to see a woman at the foot of the bed combing her hair. But again, I think perhaps it's just that she's territorial. I mean, if I ever get my own place, you can bet I will come back and I will haunt y'all for sure. If you're using something that I felt particularly territorial about, yeah, I could totally see myself coming back and being like, I'm still here and this is mine, but whatever. So another thing that I wanted to bring up, and again, I'm not an expert at this, but the thing about residual hauntings is, according to my research, again, I'm being so scientific today, is that the entity has no idea humans exist. They don't perceive things that happen to the space that they inhabit. So the haunting repeats and replays almost like a tape recording, whether or not someone is there to witness it. So from what I learned, it sounds like Carolyn was very beloved, very kind, very generous. Like you said, I love her. To me, she sounds like somebody I would have liked to have known. Perhaps a bit territorial, maybe a little too obsessed with her bed, and probably more concerned about being well-dressed than I am, but I love that about her. So if I ever stay in room 314 at the Omni, I'll be okay with Carolyn showing up, I think. Maybe. I don't know. I say that now. I'm being awfully brave because, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But I can't say for sure that I would ever book a room there. And you know, these places, they're really expensive, you know, to stay in. But I'm definitely going to check it out. If anything, just the area, it's gorgeous nature in those parts. As I keep saying, all of New England, in my opinion, fabulous. Loving it. For somebody who loves fall and who loves fall foliage, I'm in the best place, in my opinion. So as I was saying, do look for perhaps a video, not a very compelling video, of my visit to the S.K. Pierce Mansion earlier today in Gardner, Massachusetts. And I definitely think it's doable that I'll get back there to tour the inside. Right now, of course, it's Halloween season. Of course, people are booking places like that and they're going to be full. But I'm pretty sure I'll be able to do that, you know, maybe next month. It'd really be super cool though to be able to do that in Halloween. So I don't know. I'll keep checking. Maybe there'll be some cancellations. I don't know. But I apologize, friends. I haven't been putting out as many episodes as I would like. I think that I'm back. I think I'm back on the wagon now. I think that I'm motivated again. And I'm looking into some more interesting things. So if you have an idea of something that you think I could cover, and even if you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily anything related to Halloween or New England or any of the things that I've mentioned, but if you just know of something cool, please feel free, send an email to 31nightsofscaryshit@gmail.com. If you haven't already done so, please like us on Facebook and please follow us on Instagram. And until we meet again, friends, please be sure to stay spooky.